KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at robotsattackme, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center Talk Show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and I have with me
Caleb
and
Jason.
That's right. We are here again every Monday from 6 to 8. So, gentlemen, how are you?
Doing pretty well. Weekend was good. Week before was uneventful. This week looks like it's going to be a good kind of uneventful, so that's always good.
Nice.
Went to see Pacific Rim this weekend. That was a lot of fun. Highly recommend it.
Cool.
Jason?
Yeah, I also caught Pacific Rim. I enjoyed it quite a bit, too. I've been messing around a little bit more with the newest DLC for Borderlands 2, and, of course, my long-running addiction with Black Ops 2 is still fairly active, and
I would expect no less.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with shotguns lately.
Nice.
Any particular one, or just messing around with any?
I can't remember the name of it, but it's the semi-auto shotgun with the big like banana clip on it, and it's been fun pairing that with the bolt-action 50 cal. So, I can hit long and I hit short.
That's
still
a,
one
nice.
Hit.
Still pretty. That's a pretty lethal combination.
Yeah. I mean, the semi-auto shotgun is still a little bit watered down, but it's surprisingly powerful considering, in my view.
Cool deal.
Nice.
Gio, what have you been up to?
Let's see. This weekend, Jason and I went to a live recording of the Super Knockin' Boots in San Francisco. At a bar, perhaps named Tempest.
Right.
Perhaps.
That might be Tempest Mental, something like that.
That was really cool.
Yeah, it was a cool place, and it was really funny. So if you get a chance to check out that show, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Cool deal.
So, yeah, that was probably the highlight. The rest just, you know, gaming here and there, and but yeah, that was probably the big draw of the weekend.
And mostly I thought it was like the best cheap drinks that I've ever come across. Especially for San Francisco. It really threw me off. Like getting an actual mixed drink for $4 in San Francisco kind of blew my mind.
Well, it's not too shabby.
Then we came back to town and bought beers, and they were like $7 a beer.
Oh, the irony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait a minute. So, yeah. But it sounds like we've all had a decent amount of time. Nothing too crazy, but nothing on the bad end, which is always good.
So, oh, yeah. Yes.
Speaking of things that won't be bad. We got a great show for you tonight.
We do indeed.
Jason actually has our topic for the core. I'll have him briefly explain it.
Jason?
I did not know I did, actually.
It was your topic for what we were going to do last week, but we're doing it this week.
I completely blanked on it, to be honest.
Alrighty, all I right, what
so
it was.
This will be an interesting show. Top female like heroes, what makes a hero, that sort of thing.
Right.
How easy?
Yeah. Okay.
Now we remind.
Now
no,
I remember.
It basically came down into a conversation that Joe and I had. I was kind of bitching about a
language.
Complaining.
Female dogging about.
Jeez. Wow. Man, you forget the topic about chicks. Now you're. I'll move on before things get too bad. But anyway, that's what we're going to be talking about. And we'll hit some games in the game discussion portion of the show. And we have.
Caleb's Corner. Oh, yes, we do. It's a little. sorry, I misplaced the link for a second there. Yes, it was about. The referencing futuristic user interface.
All right. Sounds interesting. And, of course, we'll bring you some news. But before all of that stuff, I'm going to tell you about the new releases. But here's the top five box office.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right. Number one, again, Despicable Me 2.
Gasp.
With $44.7 million.
Wow.
Followed by number two, Grown Ups 2, with $42.5 million. In number three, we have Pacific Rim,
woo,
with $38.3 million. Grown Ups 2 beat it. That stinks.
Yeah.
Number four, we have The Heat, with $14 million. And rounding us off at number five, The Lone Ranger, with $11.1 million.
Wow, they're totally going to make that. $290 million back. I'm
yeah,
sure.
It's not looking too good, unfortunately. All right, now moving into the movies coming out this week. Looks like the big one is Turbo, the snail that goes really fast, with Ryan Reynolds and a plethora of other movie stars providing voices.
Mm-hmm.
Turbo is also in 3D, so if you want to see it in 3D, you're gonna get that opportunity. Let's see. We also have some movie called Broken, another movie called Blackfish, Evidence, Girl Most Likely. Oh, wow. It's a double Ryan Reynolds week.
Nice.
Okay.
What's the other one?
R.I.P.D. with Jeff Bridges and Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, right.
Huh.
I didn't realize that was coming out this week.
And the last, I guess it would be big just because it has some fairly big stars in it, but I don't know, Red 2.
Oh, there you go.
So. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the first one a lot.
Mm. Yeah, I hope it's good.
Cool. Well, if those, if you're interested in it.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wait.
I should mention this one before I get pelted by the ladies slapping me and stuff. Only God Forgives, starring Ryan Gosling.
Ah,
oh, there you go. Right.
So I should mention
The ladies.
For the ladies.
Yes. If your DVD collection could use a little sprucing up, here are some things coming out this week you might be interested in. Number 42 on Blu-ray and DVD. It's the Jackie Robinson movie.
Ah.
Then there's An Affair of the Heart about Rex Springfield. Bubblegum and Broken Fingers on Blu-ray and DVD. It's an independent film. Evil Dead, the recent remake, is coming to Blu-ray and DVD. And the Lord of the Flies Criterion Collection Edition is coming out. And so is Regular Show Season 1 on Blu-ray and DVD.
Huh. I'm surprised it took so long for Season 1 to come out on that. For that.
Yeah.
Fairly popular. best I understand, at least.
Mm. All right, moving on from Blu-rays and the DVDs to the video games, we've got Shin Megumi Tensei number 4 for the 3DS. We've got some game called Face Noir, another one called Time and Eternity. We've got Destiny Warriors 8. That's right, number 8. There's
wow.
The there's the Serious Sam collection. If maybe you and will go see RIPD and really want to have more RIPD, apparently there's an RIPD the game. And maybe when you're getting your Ryan Reynolds fix and you want more Turbo, there's Turbo Super Stunt Squad video game. There's some DLC for Metro Last Light, a faction pack, Kung Fu Rabbit, Robot Rescue 3D, and wrapping it up, Doodle God.
Very good, then. All right, from the game releases to comic releases this week, things to put in your pull list, perhaps. Batman 66, number one, and that's about they're reviving the 1960s Batman TV show characters as a comic. Yes. Justice League America, number six. It's part two of the Trinity War. And now we all know that New 52 is DC's thing, and Marvel has...
Now?
Yes. And both of these are from the...
Now
line. That's right. All new X-Men number 14. Throw down with Jean Grey and Mastermind. And Superior Carnage number one.
Superior Carnage?
Yes. Mm. I guess...
Well, to go with the...
Superior Spider-Man.
Okay. Huh.
So we'll see how that goes. Invincible 104 comes out this week, along with Star Wars, Dark Times, The Spark Remains. Boy, that's a mouthful of a title. Number one.
Was it crossing with Transformers?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, too.
You might think so from the title, but thankfully it's not. X-Files Season 10, number two, comes out. And Red Sonja, number one, releases this week. And this one is of note because Gail Simone is the writer. So, and Walter Giovanni is the artist.
Cool, cool. So
there you go.
Alrighty. Well, before we get to the news, we're going to take that music break that we always do.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back with more Robots Attack. I'm going to have Caleb tell you how you can participate on the show after I tell you one quick way you can listen to the show as well. You can listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio. You can stream us whenever you want at ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. Now, Caleb, how can they participate directly on our show?
Well, if you would like to participate with us live on the air and in studio, so to speak, well, you'll be virtually. Anyways, you can find us on Facebook. We are Robots Attack. That's two words. Do a search. We should be the first hit. Then you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is RobotsAttackMe. And finally, there's our email address, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if all that's just like, wait, too much, can't write it all down.
My brain.
Robotsattack.me. That is our website, and we have all of our archive episodes there and links to all the things I mentioned before and on there under the button that says interact. And speaking of Facebook, a quick thank you to someone who just liked our page. Thank you very much.
Oh, all right. Sweet.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Philip. Philip liked our page. Thank you.
Nice. Hooray, Philip. Hopefully you
can actually hear us.
Yeah. And stick around for the show unless, like, oh, wait a minute. I need to unlike this.
No, stay around. It's awesome. We promise.
All right, let's get to that music break. But you know, here's something I'll shoot out for everybody. If you did see any of those movies, Despicable Me 2, Pacific Rim, Grown Ups 2, The Heat, anything, let us know. Tweet us, hit the Facebook page, email, whatever.
Yeah.
Let us know if you liked them or
tell us your thoughts.
Like,
please interact with us. We love it when you do. It makes the show better for us, and it makes it better for you because you're a part of it. It's awesome. Even more awesome that way.
Hooray! All right, let's tease them with some news and then take that music break.
All righty. How about you getting a display like a jet fighter in your car?
Okay.
That sounds pretty good.
No.
I'm
down for that.
I have a camera that you actually want to throw.
And it will still work when you're done with it?
I guess we'll
have to find out.
Yeah.
So inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, so stick around to find out about that. All right.
It might be really horrible.
You're just going to have to stick around and see.
Find out.
Maybe it's a train wreck. Maybe it isn't.
Maybe it'll be beautiful.
Exactly. A beautiful train wreck.
Sure. Borderlands 2 is a beautiful train wreck in the opening, I guess.
It's true. That's true.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to play a track called Hurricane from the band Miss Mister. From the album Secondhand Rapture. All right, you're listening to Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
News.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robot Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are now in the news. Gentlemen, let's rock their world with some news.
Okay. I'm sure a lot of us have been tempted to throw our camera whenever we've completely mangled a picture or it won't work or out of batteries or whatever random nastiness ends up happening with it. But a guy named Steve Hollinger has created something called the, I may be butchering how this is pronounced, but the Squido.
Okay.
And it's literally a ball camera that you throw, and so it kind of acts like the little scanner balls that they have in the Black Ops 2
game. Oh, okay.
So, but the entire idea of it is that it has three cameras on it, and by the rotation of it going, along with really smart microprocessors and really fast cameras, it stitches together an image that's three-dimensional over the entire arc of how the ball is thrown. And so it's absolutely perfect for doing search and rescue, first responder, and of course, like military recon and stuff like that.
Right, right.
Now, it's pretty much just prototype phase at this point, but still, it's looking pretty promising. And the technology really isn't anything that we don't have access to right now. It's just an interesting application of all of it. So,
yeah.
Can't wait to see some of the pictures from that thing. Should be pretty good.
Seriously.
What did you say what size the ball is? Like tennis ball size, softball?
It seems to be about tennis ball size. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's
it's not
impressive.
Big at all. Yeah.
Cuz I was expecting softball with that kind of brain power in it.
Well, I mean, you think about it, the cameras that they squeeze into a regular old cell phone these days, you just attach a microchip to that.
It's
you
true.
Put three of those in and make sure it's reasonably bouncy so it doesn't destroy itself.
Yeah.
It's not too bad.
I guess if you can't make those like computer on a USB stick things, it's not too far out of the realm possibility for this.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it seems like the trickiest part to me would be making an antenna good enough to be able to broadcast back. But
yeah, and having enough juice in it to send a wireless signal back that far, depending on how far you throw it.
Right. But assumingly you're just throwing it once, it uses its battery power, and that's the end of it until you recharge it or whatnot. So you don't really need to do it over and over again.
That's true. Fascinating.
Nice.
So from...
Before you get to your story...
Oh, yes.
I've got a fancy little PSA for everybody. The San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook. Alrighty, what have you got for us, Caleb?
Alrighty, so from throwable cameras to something that makes your car driving experience a little bit more useful, a little more fluid. Now, you know, we have our gauges on our dashboards that give us all the information we need, and there's GPSs that have, but it's a big old bright screen off to the side, and sometimes you have to like hook up your cell phone to in a bizarre contraption to get it to work. Well, the fine folks at Garmin said, you know, why are we trying to turn the screen towards the driver, create another piece of super bright light shining back at them to ruin their night vision while they're driving or whatever. So they've come up with a thing they call, where did the name of it go? Well, anyway, what it does is it's a heads-up display that will take your smartphone and it makes it project a picture onto a special reflective darkened piece of plastic to adhere to your dashboard or to your windshield.
Okay.
So like in the daytime, you can see it. Otherwise, it would be a little bit too bright in the daylight to see it. But
yeah, you can. They're working on, it's a device that will turn your GPS into just a projection on your windshield, so you don't have to try and, you know, you can actually put it like right in front of your view, so you don't have to like glance to the left or to the right or up into the upper left corner of your windshield to see it, because those are the legal places where you can put your GPS device. Now you can just drop it where you really want to put it, and it will not distract you over much, and you will still get a nice, clear.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have the arrow like literally pointing down the road where you need to go.
That's exactly.
Be pretty slick.
Exactly. So there you go. That's that's a cool thing. It's basically a special cradle that I think also has a GPS antenna in it that will improve its GPS capabilities as well. So added bonus.
Nice. Well, from that to I've got some possible Star Trek movie news, but we'll have to weigh on if this actually happens or not.
Okay.
I snagged this from IGN. Oh, as we've mentioned in previous shows, if you're new to the show and you don't know, maybe you want to go back and check the stories we've talked about many times. The stories have videos or pictures and things we talk about, which are a little difficult to experience over the radio waves.
Yes.
So we post all our story links on our Facebook page. So at your leisure, whenever you can. Obviously, if you're driving, don't go and look at them now unless you pull over to the side. But,
anyway. The camera story has some video for it.
Oh, okay. Nice. Cool. So hit up our Facebook page to see the links to our stories. Speaking of stories, Zachary Quinto says third Star Trek movie may shoot next year. Mr. Spock himself, Zachary Quinto, recently appeared at the Galway Film Lith, where he gave attendees an update on the third film in Paramount's rebooted Star Trek series. According to BuzzHub, Quinto said, "Star Trek 3 should be filming, I suppose, next year. It's going to be made a lot quicker than the last one. That's the plan, although nothing is confirmed yet." Quinto added that J.J. Abrams still hopes to direct the next Star Trek, but didn't elaborate. Although this seems highly unlikely to happen, because Abrams begins filming Star Wars Episode 7 in early 2014 and will then oversee post-production on that until its 2015 release. So, I would say it could happen, but the chance of having Abrams like direct it if it did start shooting next week is probably unlikely. Mm-hmm. He would probably be like a producer, you know, executive producer, and I'm sure like they would have him on the set consulting and doing various stuff.
Right.
But
right.
If they did want to start shooting next year, and that would be really cool, because I don't really want to wait as long as between the first Star Trek and the second Star Trek for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the cast wants to wait either.
Yeah.
I just don't see like Abrams being able to direct it if they did start it next year, but he could pick somebody that would be, you know.
Yeah, I sort of wonder if it could end up working as kind of a co-direction type of thing or something like that, even. But who knows?
Yeah. So, you know, take this with a grain of salt. It's possible they could get started on pre-production a lot of things next year, but...
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Here's hoping. Hoping whatever comes out of it will be good.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Okay, next up we have Audi is doing something kind of interesting. They teamed up with a whole bunch of talented people, including Philips, Merck, University of Cologne, Germany, and the German government, who fronted all the money for the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
They put together, after all those people, this is going to sound kind of small, but trust me, it's really cool.
Okay.
They're making a tail light.
Okay.
For an Audi TT. But here's the thing. They're making a 3D see-through OLED tail light.
Oh, interesting. Huh. So the whole thing is an illuminated surface.
Well, it doesn't sound like the actual glass on the outside is going to be, but the idea of it, if people are unfamiliar, OLED, or like the LED TVs that everybody's used to at this point. It's kind of a unique substance because there's really nothing special about the material itself. It's the bath that it's dipped into, or the repeated different types of baths that it's dipped into. And so it ends up being a lot cheaper than previous plasmas and whatnot, and not nearly as rare materials. But the really cool thing is, because it's just a bath, you can put it on whatever. And the kind of cool thing that people were talking about before was trying to throw it onto flexible things, do flexible screens and whatnot. But this is something that has been kind of overlooked until now, is that you can just make a glass surface which has thickness to it already,
right?
Especially if you make it like a thick piece of glass. You dip the entire thing in that same sort of stuff and then run the leads to it, and you can have images projected on the entire surface of that thing. So it ends up creating really interesting designs and stuff like that. And the added bonus is that since red as a LED color, or an OLED color, is naturally the longest lasting of the colors.
And a very stable one, a very inexpensive one.
Right. It should be a pretty good product for the long term also.
That would be kind of cool, because I know for the television, the OLED TVs, the biggest challenge they face is keeping the blue LED surface like fully operational. It tends to die the fastest.
Yeah, it took them a long time to get that to a tolerable amount. But there was a lot of talk too when they were first brainstorming using these things, that they could even have televisions that literally have a replaceable screen, because there's nothing super complicated about the screen. It's the electronics and how it all plugs together. So if you just make a replaceable one, you could theoretically swap them out every 10 years and maybe even upgrade your screen in the process.
That would be interesting.
But nobody's taken that leap yet, unfortunately. Yeah, no. That was in the realm of college theory, unfortunately.
Yeah, but at the same, but this the idea of taking a 3D object like this taillight and using it as a lighted surface, that could actually start this idea of like a replaceable object that is LED lit, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping this technology ends up saturating a lot more stuff. I'm really surprised it hasn't already. It seems like it's been underused because it uses a fraction of the power of any of the other stuff. It's way cheaper to do than any of the other stuff.
And it could potentially be more robust as well.
Right, and yet anytime they've incorporated into things like cell phones and whatnot, it seems like it's been really kind of lackluster things, like a simple black and white screen or something like that.
Right.
So hopefully they start really thrilling us with this stuff. Not that LED TVs haven't been pretty cool. I was pricing them myself. So,
But just, it's nice to see them doing more than just trying to make another like basic style display, like expanding what this idea is, because it is so full of potential.
Right.
Awesome. All right. So from the achievement of getting of making larger, more interesting LED lit things, to human achievement of human powered helicopter flight.
Human powered.
They said it wasn't possible.
They said it was impossible, but
Airwolf.
Pedal powered Airwolf.
Yeah, that would be.
I'm imagining like a big wheel with a rotor on it. For
some reason. Yeah, that's so awesome in my mind right now. But in this case, it was it's the Sikorsky Human Powered Helicopter Challenge, which was started in 1980.
Right. Yeah,
and the
Airwolf was in the 80s.
It was
not unrelated, I'm sure.
Yeah, not completely unrelated. The goal of the challenge is to fly a human powered vehicle for 60 seconds in the air, and it must rise 3 meters or roughly 10 feet into the air.
Okay. I was thinking that exact same thing. See, our minds.
And it has to remain within an area that is 10 meters by 10 meters, so 33 by 33 feet, give or take.
Okay.
So it has to go remain mostly vertical, achieve a certain height, and stay there for a while.
Okay.
The prize-winning device
was actually paid for by Kickstarter, or at least partially funded. The frame was funded.
50 cents of it was funded by Kickstarter.
Closer to 30K, but sure.
Provided by 50 Cent, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He might have been interested.
Details of news story may not actually be accurate.
Commentary on news story might not always be accurate. The device, the Aero Velo, as they call it, because it's like a basic bicycle, a giant bicycle, and a Veloraptor is a type of bicycle. Anyways, the...
Okay.
I'm
with you.
The Kickstarter paid for the airframe, and they this year were able to actually pull it off, and it's a pretty impressive thing to watch. They have it inside. There's video of it on in the article, and a lot of pictures, and you can see like just how large this device is to lift a human being into the air, just 3 meters. But the fact that you can do it without having to attach a giant motor to it is kind of cool, and don't know what it's gonna what it will lead to, but these concepts, like, they're real. It's like fashion design. These high end concepts, no one actually is going to use something like this, but it sparks imagination. It feeds an idea, and then other people say, you know, that thing that
we could take that and
this element here, this element could totally work for this other project we're working on, and we'll do that, and you know.
Well, I mean, where it is applicable is, I mean, so you have something, you're trying to lift a fair amount of weight, but you have really limited power supply of, like, a human body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of other energy concerns with new types of energy, like solar and whatnot. And this is proof that you can make a flying machine out of something solar or something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Definitely.
It'll be neat seeing how far it goes with other designs and other power plants.
Exactly.
Obesity cured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I got to fly.
Helicopter yourself to work.
I mean, it's really just up and down.
For now. But then soon they'll add forward and backward and left and right.
Soon it'll be.
Oh, yeah.
Air human.
You just lean like a Segway.
Mm-hmm. Just be careful with the starbursts. You have to like actually launch them vertically or downwards so that
you don't want to light the entire thing.
And there'll be actual starbursts that you fling out.
And you get cherry. No. And you get lime. And you get
now
pineapple.
I totally want to make a movie with that scene in it, like a guy riding in a helicopter, like cracking up. And like throwing starburst at people from the helicopter. Starburst.
Tropical. Yummy. Oh, coconut.
At first, I was annoyed.
But now I'm happy.
Lemon. I don't like lemon. Alrighty. Well, my story here on Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. I snagged from Shaq News. It's how a designer's son helped pitch Puppeteer. Puppeteer is one of the promising titles coming from Sony's Japan studio, owes some of its charm to a child. According to Japan Studio's Gavin Moore, the seed of the idea sprouted from playing games with his son, or more specifically, why his son got bored with the games they played together. Quote, I'm playing games with my son. I'm in my house in Tokyo. We're playing this two-player game. I'm not going to say what it is. And he just gets up and walks out, Moore told Eurogamer. He just goes outside and plays with his friends. So he comes back in and I ask, what was that all about? And he said, they're all the same. All the games we've been playing are all the same. You're doing the same things. So I asked what he wanted, and he said he wanted a game that changed every 5 to 10 minutes. And I was like, yeah, right. Well, I want an Aston Martin. But he said, you make games for a living. Surely you can do that.
Father.
Yeah. And so the
I challenge you, slap.
Well, so the gauntlet had been thrown. Exactly from the story. Moore noticed the scenery changing in a traditional Japanese puppet show and decided that that was the perfect backdrop to provide the variety his son was asking for. He says he didn't pitch it as a game for his son and instead made a concept video to show off the idea. Now, after 3 years in development, he says his son is credited as a lead tester and isn't so apt to walk away from the game anymore. Quote, it's funny, Moore says. He thinks it's his game. The other day he asked if it was out yet and then said, where are my royalties?
Smart kid.
Yeah. So, yeah, this looks like a pretty interesting game. So that's cool. That, you know, draw inspiration from your kid.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, where else are you going to get new ideas for yeah. good games?
Kids say the darndest things.
Yep.
Well, I have a really quick robot story, and you can follow up with a slightly longer robot story, maybe.
Sure.
There's a thing in the world called IDSA. It's basically an industrial design organization that ends up giving a nice little nudge to people who are doing the study of industrial design when they're in college and whatnot. And one of the things that they do is they run these massive competitions for design excellence. And a lot of the ideas they end up coming from these are fairly what they call blue sky ideas, really kind of out there and whatnot. This one is somewhere in between really doable and blue sky, which impressed me. It's a robot that is made for tearing down buildings. If you think about it, buildings are like a huge, nasty project because you have to rip apart all of the concrete, get all the metal out of it, reprocess concrete and whatnot.
Right.
And it's dangerous, really dangerous.
Yeah. So if you've ever seen one of those things blow up, that's how dangerous those are.
Right. Between blowing up and wrecking balls, there's, But if you can get a robot to do it, that's pretty cool. If you can have a robot do it with water.
Whoa, what?
Huh.
That's even cooler. The entire idea of it is that it has a recycling plant on it that it uses high-pressure water. It cuts the concrete with the water, sucks up the stuff, and reprocesses it on the spot into concrete bags.
For the next project, or just into another?
It would be more of an aggregate instead of actual concrete, which is like a filler or whatnot.
Right.
But still, something that's valuable to the next batch of people. But just having it dumped right behind it, like it's laying little eggs or something like that, that was a pretty neat prospect to me. Of course, right now it's completely just ideas because it was an idea competition.
Right.
But this is... The guy drew up designs and everything. It looks like a really doable thing. Just a fairly straightforward tracked vehicle with an arm. And if you could have fleets of these things doing their job instead of people risking their lives with explosives and giant hammers, effectively, might be good.
Very much so. Do you want to do another story, Joe, before I jump onto the last robot story? Or
Go for it. I mean, yeah, go for it.
So when we talk about robotics on this show, if you've been listening for a while, you've probably heard us say the words DARPA and Boston Dynamics at least more than once.
Yeah. It should be our new drinking game, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's the second one along with Mass Effect.
Right.
It's
like, yeah.
So take a double shot right now.
So
and of course it doesn't have to be alcohol.
Yeah. Just
anything,
right.
Because, you know.
Enjoy your beverage of choice.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially if you're driving.
Soda. Yes. Well, they're at it again, and this time
they're at it again.
This time
they're really at it though. This time,
yeah. This one is one of their most impressive devices yet, and that's saying something.
This is better than the robot baboon that I had a while back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is saying something.
Yeah, this robot is known as Atlas, and it is currently relatively. Its brain is not so bright right now. They can get it to walk on its own. It can avoid obstacles and things like that. But the purpose of the DARPA Robotics Challenge is to build a more impressive brain for this really impressive robot body. It stands about 74 inches tall, and it has a very, very human-like appearance in terms of its articulation. It doesn't look like a person yet, but like it has wrists and arms, shoulders, waist.
To me, it looks like a 50s version of the Terminator. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, so this thing is just, it's really cool. There's some really
It is
nice,
off the hook.
There's some really nice video of this thing in action. They show it on a treadmill, like walking, and then they have like put down a plank and it senses, oh, I'm stepped on something strange. It's going to throw me off balance. It takes its foot off of it, and puts it down on the treadmill and keeps walking.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, it's really cool. And also, and the there's a lot of like advanced sensors in the quote unquote head of the robot, and it will, and so they'll. But the main thing is like they have this excellent base. It has some built-in sensors and reactions. But what could people do with that? Where can we push this technology? They want the sort of the community of designers and developers, and to, you know, make it even more awesome than it already is, and it's already pretty awesome. So
right.
So there you are, MIT.
KYMO. Wait, no.
No, it's a different one. But yeah, universities and corporations, like, dude, this is gonna be some cool stuff. We look forward to seeing what you all come up with for it.
Yeah, right now it's still tethered, but DARPA has a nasty habit of starting things tethered, and then within a year it's fully functional, walking by itself and being completely scary.
Yeah.
So look forward to that.
Right.
Yeah. Hopefully this won't turn into another an early version of Terminator, but I don't think it's going to get there yet. And it's just so interesting. Watch like in the video they show it like kind of articulating just all of its joints in the upper body area, and it's just mesmerizing. Like, wow, it moves like a person more or less. Like it's really cool.
Awesome. Yeah, and we'll have, as I mentioned earlier, we'll have that link as well, the rest of our stories on our Facebook page, so you can go and check them out at your leisure. All right, gentlemen, that's going to wrap up our news portion of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thought all interesting stories there. I mean, when we have an opportunity to throw an Airwolf reference again.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's golden. always golden good.
Right.
Especially if our audience is like
that's
under the age of
right
20
there.
And it's like, yeah. What is Airwolf? But it gives them something to go and look up.
Right, yeah. That's what the internet is for.
Yeah.
If only it was some great resource of knowledge that we could refer to.
Or Netflix, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too.
Some streaming service of some kind or another. All righty, let's go ahead and take another music break, and then we will come back with Caleb's Corner. Would you like to tease the folks so they know what's coming up?
No, he doesn't.
Yes, I would.
You don't have to. I mean, you could say, you know what? No, they're just going to have to wait.
Right.
It'll be a fairly quick one talking about use the interfaces that we see in movies and stuff for computers and things.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'm interested. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to stick around.
Yay.
All right. You've been listening to Robots Attack, one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. I'm going to play a track called Sailing Off Alone from the artist Trainwreck Writers from the album Ghost Yards. They are a local band. So there you go.
I'll sail away. Wait, no.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Hello, welcome back to Robots Attack. This is Caleb's Corners, the part where I talk about something that I found interesting. And today I found something called from a website called Note Loop, and they have a section called FUI Kit. Now that stands for...
Thank you for finishing that.
Yes. there's
don't several... say it too fast, though.
Yes. Yes, you want to be... Or Kit FUI, if you prefer. And the FUI is an acronym. It stands for Fantasy User Interface, or Fictional or Fake User. And usually it's like when you watch a movie and there's a glass table in front of someone, or like, you know, like Minority Report where they're waving things around and like things are moving, but there's nothing there, obviously. So these interfaces are designed by someone, and the way that people deal with them is also kind of there. But if you're like, say like you're a designer of some sort or an artist, and you want to kind of reference one of these futuristic images, like you can't, but you remember vaguely what it came from, but like say it was a B-rated sci-fi, it didn't get much you know, play or whatever, you have no idea where to find it, this website will actually help, because it's kind of like an archive of some of these things, like be it a phone interface or a table or what have you.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, and it's just kind of a neat, a really neat way to sort of look at how these interfaces have evolved over time and what they're like then and now. So
do they list like even just kind of the basic ones, like just whenever a lot of the stuff do like computer searches and stuff, you're like, that's not real. Like, that's not a real search browser. Yeah. That's not a real, you know.
I've never understood why they do that too, but
I don't believe they're doing, they have as many of those, but okay.
it's more of the sci-fi, like the
Like the ones where it's like you're not just, it's not just like, oh, here's the custom interface they made for the Pelican Brief. It's like, okay, oh no, this one's right, like kind of a more revolutionary idea. Like Minority Report is the most obvious example of these kinds of concepts.
Okay.
Or Oblivion, like, you know, that big table that has all the array of information on it.
Iron Man on there too.
I'm pretty sure Iron Man's in there. But so yeah, it's just kind of a visual reference for some of these things that we kind of that sort of pass into ephemera after they come out. So
Do you know off the top of your head like what some of the older ones are that are on the list? Or
let's see, let me,
I don't mean to put you, well, while you're looking that up,
pull it up real quick.
Yeah. I'm going to tell the folks about Collaboration 4 on Saturday, August 3rd at the Historic California Theater in San Jose. Talent from all across the Bay Area will be participating in Collaboration 4, a nonprofit annual showcase that seeks to empower communities through entertainment. Six finalists will duke it out on stage, and the winner will also have a chance to compete in Collaboration Star, a nationwide competition. For more information and to buy tickets online, go to collaboration, that's with a K, sf.org.
All right, so the earliest one they have listed on here that I can see is Armageddon from 98, but wow, they have things, but they also reference things like Bad Boys 2, National Treasure. So it is probably pulled against some.
Wow.
I don't remember any particular interface from that one, but, you know, hey, maybe there's one I missed. And and this is just the movies. They also have sections for TV shows and short films, commercials, concept videos, companies like making up their own, kind of like mocking up their designs.
Oh, so okay.
It's just sort of like, you know, there's interfaces that people are designing or thinking about designing. Here's where you can find them. So, reference to a great many of them. It's not quite authoritative just yet, but they have links on their page for user requests for.
Oh, okay. So if people are like, oh, here's one from, they can
they can request having one added, or they may eventually open it up to having people submit their own. But until such time, you can let them know that there's ones you want them to reference.
Cool. And we'll have that link on our Facebook page as well. Yes. So you can go and check it out. That's from Bad Boys 2. Huh.
Yeah, that one caught me for me. Wait, Bad Boys 2? Triple X? Really? Well, why not? I guess there was some future tech in that.
Yeah. Well, all the stuff with the bad guy boss and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Making the stuff and doing the things, and Vin Diesel wearing the fluffy
jackets.
Fur jacket,
mm-hmm. coat
for some reason.
Does it look cool?
I can't guess. did it really look cool?
On Vin Diesel, most things look cool that shouldn't look cool.
That's my question to you out there, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. Respond now.
to the movie Triple X, did Vin Diesel look really cool?
Did he pull off the fur?
that fur coat? Yes, I know it's a relevant topic.
Super relevant.
Yeah.
Speaking of earlier calls to action, one of our frequent listeners said that she flipping loved Pacific Rim and Guillermo del Toro, and said it's really, really worth seeing Pacific Rim in IMAX 3D.
And I am incredibly shocked by this response. You can see on my face, I am blown away by this viewer's response to that film.
Yeah. And
wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
And Jason, she also mentioned that there's a episode of Batman Beyond where they're using robots to dismantle and build a building.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So yeah, reality and fiction, yeah, art and imitating life, combined.
I hadn't really thought about that too much. There's little bits of like future things in X-Men that has it also.
Yeah. Cool.
X-Men the cartoon or X-Men the movie?
No, comic book series.
Oh, okay. I guess I should have listed that probably first.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm not like a huge X-Men person, but I managed to read like a few future X-Men things. So
there you go.
I saw it there.
Nice. Alrighty. Well, that has been an awesome, as usual, Caleb's Corner.
Thank you.
Right. An above average Caleb's Corner. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
Yeah. Do you accept that?
I accept it.
Are you going to?
He's very
excited. During the break, furiously slap Jason for that, or are you good?
Why?
I'm just asking so you can prepare yourself if you need to, like, be ready for Caleb to attack you.
Furiously slap.
but it's from Caleb, so it's their love slaps.
Wait, what?
Anyway,
I'm so confused right now.
Anyway, we're going to take another music break and then come back with our game discussion, where we'll be talking about the game Capsize and, funny enough, the Pacific Rim game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
All righty. You're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I'm going to play a track called Blizzard from the artist Kavinsky, from the album Outrun. Alrighty, here we go.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show on here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We are now in the game discussion portion of the show. Got a couple games that Caleb and Jason are going to talk about, and I'm going to ask them some questions about him and all that jazz. The first one we're going to start off with is Pacific Rim, I believe. Was that the...
Pacific Rim, the video game. The full title.
All right, let me write that down again.
They make sure and repeat that as much as possible.
The video game. Pacific Rim.
The video game.
The video game. Okay, right.
So you can't confuse it.
Okay. All right.
It's better that way.
There. It's not the app.
There. No. It's, all right, awesome. It's in the notes. Okay, so... Pacific Rim, the video game. What exactly do you do in said video game?
You wrestle monsters is like, what you do.
Did you ever play the old arcade game King of Monsters? Or even Rampages?
Oh, yeah, where you go and smash buildings. And
okay, it's not so dissimilar. It's a very simple, straightforward game. In the demo, it's a fight with the monster from the beginning of the film.
Yeah, in King of Monsters is a better comparison. It's it's a slow 30-story Tekken is what it is.
Yeah.
And
simplified Tekken even.
And it's weird. It's like it's not high quality, super polished, but the actual creatures and the robots are actually well rendered.
Really well done. I was actually impressed that it was a game based on a movie that wasn't total trash.
Right. It is not a AAA title by any stretch. No. But it actually, I can imagine it being kind of fun. The thing is, for the demo, it starts you off with just a fight with the first creature, and you're kind of the title robot.
Mm-hmm.
And there is kind of a neat mechanic in that the creature just has, like, one life bar, like most fighting games do.
Right.
But since the entire idea behind these mechs is that there's two people fighting as one in order to control something so massive,
mm-hmm.
you actually have two separate health bars for the mech, and that actually affects how many combos you can do and how how everything ends up going together as far as that also.
Mm-hmm.
So they did some pretty interesting things there. From there, it breaks down to pretty much normal. Why I mentioned Tekken is that it's the left-right attacks. But the cool thing is they include practically every attack that's in the movie. So, I mean, I don't really want to spoil anything, but all of it's there, and it's nice having access to it.
And it's actually all things considered, it's a relatively satisfying fighting game. It's just not very complex.
Right. Yeah. To me, the main thing that broke it down was they didn't put any production into any sort of voice work or anything like that. It would have been nice to at least have clips of voice work from the movies or from the movie, but yeah, unfortunately they didn't have any of that. And the backgrounds were kind of shameful.
They were not the best, but still the fact that it wasn't an abomination is sort of impressive in a way, because usually video game movies are sort of like, yeah, avoid this thing at all costs. The only similarity it has to the movie is that it has the same style of imagery and the same title.
And usually the thing that stands out about those games is that there's something wrong with the controls. It never feels right. You don't want to be whatever character you are.
Yes.
And in this, you're controlling pretty much like you'd figure you would. It's kind of sluggish, but you're the giant thing, whether you're the monster or whatnot. So
it makes just a little sense.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So does it, well, before I get to my question.
Yes.
If you want to listen to KSCU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at kscu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. Again, you are listening to Robots Attack. We're in the game discussion portion of the show talking about Pacific Rim, the video game.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, does it play off the whole... Now, I haven't seen the movie, but from the trailers, they talk about that the pilots have to be like in sync with each other. Does the video game do anything with that or no?
No, it cuts that mechanic out of the game, because that would make it rather unwieldy. It would make it considerably more challenging and deeper than I think they had time or the budget to develop for.
Well, what I saw from the tutorial that I never got into was it implied that there were some combos that you could pull off that it had more to do with timing the two different sides of the body correctly. Okay. So in that way, it makes sense that it's kind of an homage to that. And then, of course, there's what I mentioned before, is that it's the dual life bar system that also is like dual energy for you completing moves. So
true. So yeah.
So what would you rate it out of? I don't know. What do you want to do? 5 or 10? Let you pick.
out of 5, honestly give it, I have to give it a 2, unfortunately, because it is not polished at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I suggest you should at least go out there and try out the demo, because you might have more fun with it than you'd expect. So that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'd give it a 2 also. I give it, for being not total trash and based on a film, almost a 3, but it's really a just 2-star game, because it's one of those, it's not terrible, it's not great, but it is rather playable and I thought it'd be rather enjoyable, albeit a bit short. Other than that, I thought I would say, fun.
Mm. Yeah.
Kind of like the movie. It's like, you don't expect too much of it, and it's actually not bad.
And the one thing that we didn't get to try out, obviously, is, and the only mode that's actually open in the demo completely is the versus fighting. Mm-hmm. And I actually sort of wanted to try that out, but we'll have to save that for a future post-review or something like that.
Yeah.
Sounds good. All right, well, moving on from Pacific Rim, the video game, we have a game called Capsize.
Right. This is another one of those games that I wish I knew more of the history behind it, because it seems like there's a lot of these games coming around that the aesthetic and the feel of the game is obviously not American, in my view. And that's not a bad thing. It's a really cool, really refined video game. And
I've sorry to interrupt, but for our audience, I've posted both the Pacific Rim video game and Capsize, like links to them, so they can go
perfect
and check it out if you know while you're talking, so they can go and see.
Right. I really, really recommend trying out Capsized because it's a combination of a bunch of the kind of interesting side-scrolling action games that they've been making lately. It seems like there's been a push to make games that are kind of a throwback to the old Contra or Smash TV, where you have full control over where you're actually shooting. And there's a game that we reviewed from the indie side of things a while back that I believe it was like Magnetic by Nature, or does that sound about right to you?
Yes. I talked about Magnetic by Nature before, yes.
This has that same mechanic in it as a sort of gravity lasso, and it's a lot of fun to mess around with, actually. It's so cool when you can pull off. Not only do you can you use it to swing around like you're Spider-Man, you can use it for grabbing enemies and flinging them off cliffs and into walls and whatnot, as well as lifting huge rocks and doing the same thing in order to clear out passageways and so on. It's a lot of fun once you master flinging stuff around.
Okay.
But that's only like part of the mechanic. They have the gunplay thing, which they have different guns that unlock, not unlike Contra, and you have full control over where you're aiming at it at any given time.
Okay.
Which
All
is
right.
also how you control the lasso, gravity lasso.
Right. Okay.
I think it has a different name, but I'm calling it that. I'm sticking with that.
Easy enough for people to understand who aren't familiar with the game.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But the extra little thing that they threw in there is that it's like a little spaceman on an alien planet, so he has a jetpack too.
Oh, okay.
And it has limited fuel, but you combine that with those other abilities, and it ends up really neat. Like, you'll have a giant boulder that you know you need to get from one place to another, and so you're, like, straining to pull it up by this little weak jetpack into a different room and, like, swinging it in. It's really a very satisfying experience doing all of this stuff.
Very cool. Apparently, according to their website, they are based out of... The lead developers are Canadian.
There you go. Not American. I would have totally guessed European, but, yeah, it...
Well, they could be French-Canadian, which would give them more of a...
There we go. French-Canadian.
Yeah, where is
you heard it here, even though it may not be factual.
Facts heard on Robots Attack aren't necessarily facts.
Right. But yeah, it's... I highly recommend it. It's got kind of a neat style. It reminds me of... back when they first started making really high-resolution games for PC, like, at least for the time, like Syndicate was and so on,
yeah,
okay.
Where it's really tight details, and the aesthetic of the game is kind of these really, like, dark lines and really detailed backgrounds and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It creates a really cool aesthetic that you're not seeing a lot of these days. It seems like a lot of the stuff is the hand-painted thing, but it ends up giving it this feel of kind of a retro game, but really high resolution. So it's a cool combo.
Oh, yeah, I downloaded it this afternoon, but I didn't get playing it just yet, so I'll have to try that when we get home.
Yeah, and if you're thrown off by the opening sequence, it's just an opening sequence. It really is just trying to introduce you to the broad strokes of what you're doing in the game. I don't think it was necessarily needed, but it was a nice little bit of art to throw in there, and I think that's why they did it.
Okay.
But, if after the opening sequence, you'll have a completely different experience than what you probably thought you were going to get from the opening sequence.
Cool.
Which I'll warn you now.
So what, out of, I guess, what would you do, five? Out of five, what would you?
it's a solid 5 as far as I can tell.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, definitely check it out. I mean, it might all fall apart after the demo. I don't know. All I got is the demo, but it's really solid.
A good demo.
Nice.
It's a good start, at least.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, definitely let us know out there if you had a chance to play any of those games or some of the other games in the arcade or network or Steam or wherever you play your games. Let us know. Caleb, how can they do that?
Well, you can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, 2 words. Or you can find us on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me, all 1 word. And there is our email address, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And then finally, there is robotsattack.me. That's the one thing, if you want to forget all the rest of it, remember that.
It's got everything.
It has everything.
Yeah,
and it's got
it all.
Our old shows. It's got links to everything else I described under the button that says interact. So there you go. Robotsattack.me.
And feel free to do all those things even when we're off the air.
Mm-hmm. Please.
You know, send us emails, lots of stuff. I'd love to get a viewer mail section going on the show, and as well as all the other stuff, tweets and Facebook posts and all that jazz. All right, let's take another music break, and then we'll come back with the core, where we'll be discussing female heroines. I'm going to play a track called Used to It from the band Rogue Wave from the album Nightingale Floors. I guess the name of this album. Let me double check. Yeah, Nightingale Floors. All right, you're listening to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSU Santa Clara. 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are now in the core, where we are going to discuss female heroines. And before we get to that topic, though, I'll start us off with our PSA, so that way we can jump right into it and not...
Right. Sounds good.
I don't have to break someone's concentration. Wait, let me just do this. And like,
right.
I was in the middle of saying something so amazing, and now it's ruined, and I hate you forever.
Okay.
So, we've got, if you're familiar with the show, you'll be familiar with this PSA. San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook. Alrighty, gentlemen. So, Jason, you brought us this topic.
Yeah, okay. I'll try and more eloquently put it this way, or this time. I was complaining. I had just finished the animated movie of the backstory of Wonder Woman, and it was, I thought it was pretty well done, but it wasn't really my cup of tea, and I was complaining that not even Nathan Fillion, being one of the cast members, could possibly save that movie. So I was being pretty harsh on it. And at that point is when Joe pipes up. I'm like, I kind of liked it. and it just got me to thinking, like, we all have completely different things that we respect about a female lead. And it doesn't have to be surely in this, an attraction to him or anything like that. There's a lot of really delicate things that could intertwine to become the overall view of this character. So that's what I wanted to investigate here, is to find out a little bit more about my friends and what they view as a really strong or a female character that they really like. And it doesn't even have to be a full-on, like, oh, I like this character specifically. It can be completely just what character traits drive you to like a character.
Okay. All right. So,
You want to, why don't you lead us off? Can I give us an example of where you're going?
I think I've mentioned this on the show before. One of the things that I really liked in the original Alien movie was you have Scorny Weaver, mm-hmm. and she's not set up as the hero. Like, not through...
A.K.A. Ripley.
Right. Not through the, like... 80% of the movie is she the hero. She's just somebody who's trying to do the best that she can, keep everybody safe, even though it's through unpopular means, which would normally end up sacrificing crew, except that other people end up completely ignoring her orders on stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she ends up becoming the hero of the story, not just because she ends up the survivor, but because she's a really strong character who is able to weather this storm of one creature.
Yeah, but it's not... It's a heck of a creature to weather.
So, that it is.
Yeah.
I mean, anything that bursts out of a chest is something that is to be reckoned with.
Indeed.
I'd think. Yeah. There's not many of them that I can reference outright. I'm sure there's some little bug someplace that does that, but...
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's interesting that she's mostly thought of from Aliens.
Yes.
Because that's where she plays more of the...
Right. The full-on, really strong, like, yeah. gun-toting, yeah.
Hero role, yeah.
And then when you go back and watch Alien, and you see the situation that she's put into stuff, so...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you have any examples, Caleb?
One of the ones that I like a lot is Rosie from The African Queen. It's a very old movie with Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn.
I was going to say it must be because I have no clue what you're talking about. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I'm sure it's quite good.
It is a rather good movie. Her character is a... she's a missionary's wife in...
What superpowers does she have?
She doesn't have any superpowers.
Okay.
She puts up with Humphrey Bogart.
I see where you're going with this. So a Ripley character is what you're saying.
More so than I would than it might seem at first, but we'll okay. Anyway, it takes place during World War II. The they are missionaries in Africa. Funny that.
Yeah.
And you know, it's part of Africa was part of Hitler's campaign against the world, and their the village where they help out, like, was burned down by the soldiers, and they were sort of just kind of left there to kind of, and their only connection to the outside world pretty much was this rather scruffy, not necessarily unlikable but kind of irascible river boat captain.
Okay.
Who is played by...
This is nailing every single old-timey thing that I can imagine. So, okay, gruff boat captain, I'm loving it.
Mm. Her brother, who was the main missionary, dies, and he dies of, I think...
Dysentery?
Yellow fever or something like that. Like, it's something so where close. They can't, like, you know, give him a proper burial per se.
Okay.
So her only way out of Africa is to get on this guy's boat and try and sail for open water and then skirt the coast and get out to Allied territory.
Okay.
And her character starts out sort of very prim and proper, and you think, wow, it's not very likable. But as the journey goes on, like, she starts to gain, you know, one, respect for this guy who knows the river pretty well. And, mm-hmm. he learns to not necessarily be such a
grumpy person.
Yes, yes. And they each learn to appreciate the strengths of the other, and they mellow out the traits that you would normally find irascible or unlikable, and they end up, you know, becoming a pretty decent couple. And their goal is the same: to both survive, to both get out of this place. And they end up finding that they want to escape with each other, which is kind of it's a really sweet story and
classic romance.
Yeah, and her character goes from totally stiff to very decently warm human being, but she never loses her sense of moral character or her strength as a person, which is that really nice. It's just the parts that were less likable become mellow, and the parts that are still likable became even stronger. So it's just kind of a, it's interesting mm-hmm. to take a different bend on the strong female character, I think.
Okay, sounds good. Now, Joe, defend Wonder Woman.
I was going to actually go for more Princess Leia, I was going to say. First.
Sounds good.
Mostly because
second
it was neat to see sort of like, they have the, you know, the story of let's rescue the princess, but like the princess kind of rescues them at times.
Right. Mm-hmm. She's more on top of it than they are through the entire thing.
And I like that even like when she's captured and they have her, I mean, she's not like cowering in fear when they have her, bring her aboard and talk to these. I mean, there's those little moments when like her entire planet is threatened or like a giant interrogator robot comes and stuff.
Right.
Like situations like that make sense.
It is reasonably creepy.
Yeah. But she's still like pretty tough with Tarkin and Vader, like everybody else. So she's not just coward, like, oh no, don't hurt me on this, you know. And she has like that sort of attitude is neat to see. And they kind of keep it through, you know, the rest of the films as well. Mm-hmm. I mean,
if Tarkin started picking on me, I'd probably wet myself. I mean, that's imposing.
He's a scary guy.
That's
an
imposing British man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if he can order around Darth Vader,
right.
You got to go, whoa, wait, that guy.
Right. Go clean my toilet, Vader.
But the Force.
Use the Force to do it. I don't care. It's all it's good for anyway.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's unfortunately, it's not as, you know, like interesting as, say, the character you selected. I mean, it's like pretty pop culture. But
well, it's just as interesting. It's just that we're more familiar.
I think that's the main thing. It's like I had more to say because it was y'all didn't know it as well. But yeah, she was on my list, too. Princess Leia was like yeah, she's cool. Like diplomat, force user. And a pit princess. It's like that's three. It's like a triple threat right there. It's like she has the carriage of royalty, the tact of a diplomat, but she can still use the force.
And adopted. I mean,
and can use the force to pin your head to the floor if she doesn't like what you're saying. You know, it's like you wouldn't want to mess across this lady.
Yeah. Does anyone want to throw out another suggestion or?
Yeah, actually, I have, like, tons of them. I don't know where to start. Since I usually harp on it, I'm gonna go back to Mirror's Edge. I thought they made a really brave choice in having a heroine in that whose way of being heroic is literally running away from most situations. Mm. And it's not that it's a bad thing. It just makes a more interesting character knowing where that line is of where you're going to get killed.
Yeah.
And having to make those choices, it ends up putting you in the place where you're still strong and you have a lot of skills, but you have respect for the things you're up against too.
Yeah, snipers with Barretts, 50 cal Barretts are not something you want to be messing with when you're
they were the only things that butchered me in that game.
Those guys are mean. That's all I gotta say about that. So that's a good one.
Cool Caleb.
Another one that I liked a lot is Sophie from Howl's Moving Castle.
Okay.
You know, her strengths came from being herself. Like, you know, that she the more she was herself in the story, the more sort of herself she became. I know that sounds recursive, but it's like the when you see the movie, it makes more sense. But like, you know, she wasn't.
I guess I hadn't really thought about it that way. Yeah, I got to give her that.
Yeah, she doesn't cower before this. The was arguably the most powerful sorcerer in the story. She has an unwound.
In front of a moving castle.
Mm-hmm.
Not even afraid of it.
Yeah.
It's got feet.
And not unnerved by the strange things like a fire demon. And it's like she.
Oh, but it was cute, though. I mean.
Yeah, Calcifer's pretty cool. But like the story is. She's sort of the center around which the story all revolves, which is also kind of nice because like it's less common to have a story that actually revolves all around the female character. Like usually there's a lot of male characters and then a few strong female characters within it, which isn't bad either. Just it was kind of a nice change of pace to see the story with
an actual
female lead.
She's the heart of the entire crew. So, and being kind of thrust into that position is kind of interesting.
Yeah. So another one I liked.
Nice. Good choice. Even though I haven't seen the movie, it sounds from what you described.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense.
Yeah. That's good. You should check it out.
I don't know if I will. That anime thing is kind of, I don't know.
It's been played out.
It's so, like, cartoony and stuff.
Right, that's so 80s.
I mean, you know me, I just don't like the cartoons
right.
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Not at all.
You know, I'm going to go with Marion Ravenwood.
Okay.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Even after the fourth movie?
Well, see, that's the thing.
Okay.
That's how I think they sort of ruined her character from that one. Like, in Raiders, she's this tough chick.
Right.
You know, she goes pretty toe-to-toe with Indy. I mean,
I liked her a lot in that one.
Yeah, you know, she has her girly moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you probably would, too, if you were in a room enclosed with a bunch of snakes or being, like, chased by guys with guns or something.
Heck, Harrison Ford had his girly moment at the exact same spot, so.
So, but yeah, and that's what was so weird with the fourth one. She, like, lost all of that,
just
it seemed
it
like.
All. At some point, a toughness vampire came across
yeah.
her. And that's a whole other story that I expect a movie from
Lucas. That'll be, like, the 3.5, like, in between what happened to Marion's
right.
toughness.
Yeah.
So,
a refrigerator will be involved somehow, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I think in a lot of ways, it's sort of like Princess Leia. I mean, it's like I kind of grew up watching these female characters, and so it was like these were cool. They were cool characters. It didn't really matter that they were chicks.
Exactly.
Like, but yeah.
Yeah, it is funny. Like, I never really thought about how ingrained that sort of character was in my mind as far as the best lead for a woman, because it seems like all of the movies that I was into as a kid, like that and Star Wars and so on, it was always a strong female character. And so it's funny too, because I understand that a lot of things downplay it and don't have the female characters, like, rise to the occasion as well as they should, it seems like. But it also seems weird to me whenever I hear, like, stuff like Josh Whedon has mentioned, that people ask him, why is he always write these strong female leads? And his common response is that, well, because you're still asking that question. And my kind of counterpoint is that I grew up on those strong female leads, so I don't see them really lacking out there. It's not that I don't want them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's also a sign of the changes that have been happening societally, to, you know, in general. Like, it's not quite what it used to be. Like, you watch the movie, older movies, you'll there's a certain gender roles were much more better defined, were much more rigid in terms of their definition, and so having a strong female lead meant a particular type of female lead. And like in the era that we live in, film and storytelling, it's been changed, adjusted a little bit, and now it's a little bit more fluid, like what exactly a strong female lead looks like.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it's funny, too, like, we mentioned the animes, and it's interesting as far as, like, the stereotypical, like, past version of Japanese culture is the women are kind of subdued compared to the men and whatnot.
Right.
But since we grew up on anime, we never see that. It's always, like, the most raucous, really powerful women in every single anime. Or at least the ones that end up becoming, like, the centerpiece of the entire movie, like you mentioned. So it's interesting how these different art forms end up creating these characters that are so different than the problems that whatever society has.
Yeah, it's interesting how they deal with some of these artifacts of society that we carry with us.
Yeah. So let's go around one more time, quickly, with one more example, and then we'll wrap us up since we're getting to the end of the show. So,
okay, I'm going to go with, and I'm sure you guys won't be terrible surprised by this, since it's also from the animes, Major Kusanagi from Ghost in the Shell. Always been one of my favorite characters. I mean, literally one of the characters that made me want to learn how to draw women.
Yeah,
and, understandable.
And it's always been a really cool character just because there's this disjointed feeling, because she has a body that is definitely shown and whatnot and used because it's a really powerful, like, cybernetic type of structure that she's able to do all of these amazing military types of things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's neat having the backstory that she was forced into that prematurely from getting into this accident when she was super young. And so it's part of the reason why she's actually so good with this technology too. It's just really intriguing story to me, like how it actually includes something from childhood, but it ends up becoming the strength of the character. In a weird sort of way, it's a lot the same as all of the backstories for the characters in One Piece.
Mm.
They go way far back to what created that kernel of heroic for each of those characters.
Yeah. True.
Very true. You're listening to Robots Attack on KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We're in the core discussing female heroines. Caleb, your last one.
Rapid fire.
Last one is Thorn Haverstar from the Bone comic series.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, she starts out, you know, classically feminine, like very kind of naive, very stereotypically feminine. Like, you know, she's kind of, not that she isn't sort of her own form of tough, because she lives on a farm with her quote unquote granny.
Very tough granny.
But, you know, she seems like she stands out against these characters by not being as tough but she has like a really strong heart. And as the series progresses, her character evolves a lot turns out that she's actually one of the most powerful characters in the story, like, full stop. And you know, her character as a character evolves to the point where she becomes also incredibly interesting, that you want to, that she kind of takes over the storyline in a lot of ways, which is nice, because it goes from being about the bone guys, the bone trio, to kind of being Thorn and the Bone Trio in some ways. Like, they were still like integral to like how the story progresses and moves, and it's still sort of told somewhat from their viewpoint, but it's obvious that she kind of becomes the star of things, which is really, really neat. And I think that the way they wrote her is really smart too.
Yeah, and, and the thing that I'd sort of argue too is that the girly side of it is just because it's from the viewpoint of the main character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, then I will quickly say, since we're pretty much out of time, is I'm going to just mention Supergirl. First off, I think she's hot, so there's that. But
it's not a bad place.
I can remember sort of an example from, I believe it was a Justice League Unlimited episode where she ends up going into the world that this comic called The Warlord takes place. Basically, it's like kind of an Earth within an Earth, and because this Earth doesn't use like the same sun exactly, she doesn't really have like any of her powers.
So I remember that one.
She has this really cocky attitude, because it makes sense. If you grew up as like all-powerful Supergirl, you'd sort of be in a little ways, kind of going back to the One Piece thing, where Luffy ate, you know, the Devil Fruit when he was a little kid, and, you know, had rubber now, and
right,
almost unstoppable killing. So, you know, like, he couldn't be hurt. So definitely that would influence your nature. So if you grew up being all powerful, essentially, you'd kind of have an attitude also.
It would tweak you a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you didn't have like, I mean, Superman would have that attitude, but because he grew up with
the Kents,
it kind of helped balance that.
Below that.
So
yeah.
In that episode, I remember her sort of learning that lesson of like, you know, she was sort of stuck up and had this thing, but then learned to realize that she needs to work with as a team and not just be like,
right,
you know, I can do everything because I'm Supergirl. And, you know, in many situations, yeah, you probably could, but, you know, it is good to rely on others also, like work as a team. So
exactly.
But yeah, I mean, there's tons of others we could talk about, but we're out of time. So, but if you have some out there, let us know. I posted the thing on our Facebook page, but you can also tweet us. You can email us, all that jazz. Caleb will quickly tell you how you can do all that, and then we're going to get out of here.
Yes, that's right. You can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words. Or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is RobotsAttackMe. And finally, there is old reliable email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if all that's just like, wait, too fast, robotsattack.me. Go there. Links to everything I've described and archive episodes of all our shows. It's good stuff.
Yes. All right.
We promise.
Thanks again for listening. We're here every Monday from 6 to 8 during the summer hours. Check out the website. You can get previous episodes, as Caleb has mentioned. Have a great weekend. If you happen to be going to Comic-Con, you see me, say hi. I'm going to be down there. Yeah, if there's anything you want me to look out for, hit up all those things that Caleb mentioned, and I'll do my best to get some pictures or whatnot, whatever. So thanks again for listening. Have a great week and weekend. We'll see you next week.
See you then.
Raccoon. Barada. Mixto.